Gera can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gera! And still Baptista, yes! It's Cavani! It's fantastic!
One from David Villa. Oh, great finish!
He's done just that, he scored! Juninho's done it!
Kubu making another glimpse of goal here!
Hello and welcome to the Streets Won't Forget podcast. Joining me this week, as always, are my co-hosts. One of them is soon to set a world record for the drunkest rendition of World in Motion, while the other has put his hard-earned real-world money in the hands of Alvaro Morata. God help him. It's Dan Mountney and Harry Martinez. How are we, boys?
I'm very well. I'm very excited for not just this episode, but also for the Euros.
Oh, yes. I don't want to hear any talk of the Premier League, any league competition anymore. It's done. And as you might have caught on, it's a special episode this week. And we've all caught Euros fever. With the tournament right around the corner, we've decided to pull together some of our favourite moments and once again put our reputation on the line as we make some more of our questionable predictions. But we have some business to attend to before we get there. And first up, we do have some sad news. On the 8th of June, our beloved Santi Cazorla announced his retirement from professional football. Considered by many to be one of the most technically gifted players of his generation, and considered by me to be Arsenal's best player since Henri, he was a joy to watch on the pitch, and we wish him a very happy retirement.
I knew Santi Cazorla was retiring. I was the one that told you this. But from that intro, there was a genuine moment where I thought, holy fuck, is he dead?
I was like, it's a bit of a eulogy, isn't it?
Do you know, as Wally was reading that out, I was kind of going, Dorime.
I feel like I'm at a funeral, mate. A bit of football's died.
Holy shit, Cazorla's gone.
He is. He's gone. He's not coming
Dan,
back.
Dan, when you edit this, Dan, just make sure you put something like, I don't know, some sort of Bocelli over
and
the top.
It's got to be that Mad World with the sounds of rain on a window.
Ness and Dormer.
And in happier news, though, we have an Andy Caz of the Week, and it's Euros themed, would you believe?
Yes.
So, obviously...
Well, for neither of them, really.
Yeah. Managers are now in the process of trimming down their squads to get to their final list of players. And James Maddison found himself in the unlucky number cut from the England squad. However, this week's Andy Caz of the Week is none other than Neil Maupay, who used this moment to absolutely shithouse him in outstanding fashion by posting a picture on Twitter at the exact same moment of him holding up some darts, mimicking Madison's signature celebration?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah, I guess it is.
But he's absolutely had him off there and a worthy winner of Andy Caz of the Week.
What I love about
this... Have you seen anything going back at Tottenham fans as well? Yeah, Tottenham fans have been like going, well, when was your best appearance in the Euros? And someone tweeted out his missed open goal for Brentford and they were like, just a reminder why you haven't made the Euro squad. And he's just replied with like him with a fishing reel.
What I really love about that picture and the post is that he's had that photo saved in his phone for ages. That's not a spur of the moment thing. And he's waited for the exact moment. He's got an inkling that Madison's not going. And he's waited for exactly the right moment and done it just as it's been announced. Like the shithousery.
Unbelievable. Obviously knows ball too to realise that Gareth Southgate's not fucking picking.
I don't think you really have to know ball to be honest, mate. Yeah. You just need eyes.
Yeah, but Gareth Southgate doesn't.
That is true.
It was high in my thoughts that he was going to pick James Maddison.
Oh, bloody hell. Well, a worthy winner to be sure. But Harry, I think you have some other bits for us.
Yes. Firstly, public service announcement. I will be setting up a Euros Fantasy League. I'll post it on socials, get involved. We had the Premier League one. That was a big success. So I'll send the link to you two boys as well. By the time this episode comes out, it will already be up on the socials. So just
I've already set my team. And let me tell you, it's looking spicy.
I can't tell you the level of disappointment when he said, I've got a public service announcement. It wasn't that we finally found a replacement for him. Yeah.
He's announcing his retirement too. Like, It's not quite as sad as Cazorla's.
Public service announcement, much like Santi Cazorla, I'm also going to the big streets, won't forget heaven in the sky.
You know what? Euros fever has made you mean.
I'm ill. I've got a sickness.
Yeah, we'll come up with another prize for the winner. So there will be Harry's something job to play for, don't you worry. Yeah, that's a punishment for last place, mate.
Don't remind me, I've got to get Jimmy Faz's nomination for the Streets Football Game. I still haven't done that. And the other thing, a little bit of a question time for you, just to get our discussion roots flowing. Firstly, with it being the Euros, I want to know your favourite England Euro side and then your favourite Euro side outside of England.
I mean Greece has got to be up there.
That doesn't have to be the team that won it necessarily, like, or the team that went the furthest for your England team.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of England team, it'd have to be either Euro 2020, obviously as finalists, or Euro 2004. I mean, that squad is just incredible.
That squad's is unbelievable. Yeah,
I do think 2020 is probably my favourite, just because it's the first men's final seen in our lifetime, and that's huge. All-time side,
I don't think this squad's far off it.
Yeah, it's a very strong team.
It's an unbelievable squad, and there's some good characters in it. I don't think you're that far behind the 2004 one.
Ooh,
well, Iceland might beg to differ slightly. But...
yeah, but the Euro 2004 one was just as bad.
I mean, your favourite's got to be Greece, right, Harry? 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that Spain 2008 is probably my favourite that I've been invested in.
Class team.
The 2012 one was unbelievable, but 2008, when you had Pedro coming on the scene, was unreal.
I also kind of like Italy 2012, you know. Like Balotelli, Pirlo.
Yeah. Balotelli that became the most lethal striker.
And they've always got a really cold kit. Like, it's so clean.
Who was the bloke they had at either left or right back? With the shaggy blonde hair, who appeared for that tournament and then never appeared anywhere ever again. Balzaretti?
Was it Di Siglio? Oh.
No, Balzaretti, I'm sure, is his name.
Di Siglio was cutting about for years. I think Balzaretti, I only know.
Yeah, but he never made it a club level, Di Siglio.
Which is because he played for AC Milan and Juve.
And Inter.
Traitor.
Yeah, Federico Balzaretti, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Wooly, what's your favourite England team?
I said, I think it's got to be Euro 2020.
That one.
2004's class. But to make a final, like, that was big. I genuinely thought we were going to win it. So
2016's got to be a bit of shit. My Wales 2016 was also pretty good.
Oh, yeah. How Robson You've not got a lot of what a man.
Oh, yeah.
They get to the semis, I think.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, Gareth Bale got
that
to the
tournament
semis.
For me.
It's like a Mbappe on the World Cup.
Exactly, mate. Like, it doesn't matter.
Right, well, shall we get on to the main topic of the episode?
Oh, go on then.
Well, the waiting is done. There are no more friendlies, fortunately for England. And the squads are set. This is Euro 2024. So, let's get right down to it and take a look at our teams. Storied champions meet plucky debutants in this year's group stage. But where else to start than Group A and the hosts? Germany. Die Mannschaft will be looking to move on from their round of 16 loss to Southgate's England at Euro 2020 and put on a show-in for their home fans with a squad that blends experience and winning pedigree with up-and-coming superstars like Jamal Musiala and Florian Wirtz. But, Dan, who do you think their key man is for this tournament?
Well, you mentioned him there. I think after the season he's had, and a spell where he had, I think, a serious ACL injury and, you know, was away from football for a while, but he came back this season and was absolutely incredible and helped Bayer Leverkusen win that historic undefeated title. I've gone for Florian Wirtz. I think a wonderfully technical player, can unlock a defence, could get you a goal. I think him and Musiala are going to be key for Germany.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been red hot at club level. That Leverkusen team was insane. So it'll be interesting to see if that carries on. Harry, who do you think maybe one to watch is for the Germany side, one who flies under the radar?
Do you know what? I think this might be, depending how they start and who they decide to play, but I think he could put a good performance in against, you know, any of the three sides they've got in that group. I'm going with Nicholas Fulkrug.
Ooh, I like that.
I watched him in the Dortmund semi-final and the final, and what he brings to the side is unbelievable. I mean, gets a lot of goals as well, but that hold-up play, I think, is unmatched in many... Many strikers will be missing that amongst the big sides this tournament.
Absolutely. I think one I'd keep an eye on as well is Max Mittelstadt from Stuttgart. Because something Germany have lacked in recent tournaments has been fullbacks. And all of a sudden they've got one who will absolutely put in a shift. So
excited to see how Pascal Gross does as well.
Mm. He's underrated.
That man's been starting for Germany.
The thing about the Germany squad is, it doesn't look great on paper, but then they've got kind of such strength and depth that I don't think they maybe had before.
Each position has either a world-class player or a player that you'd happily take in your squad.
And when you think some of their talent might be getting on a bit, but they've still got the likes of Kroos, Gundogan. Like, the high-end talent is there. They've got it in spades.
Yeah. Oh, Kroos will be unbelievable. That man doesn't age.
And you cannot look past
Manuel Neuer still in goals.
The home factor
Rudiger,
as well.
You know? Yeah, exactly, mate, exactly. They are probably up there with being top favourite for me.
Oh, interesting. Well, we will get on to favourites later. But for the rest of Group A, the unthinkable has happened. And Scotland have qualified for back-to-back tournaments. Steve Clarke will be hoping the Tartan Army can attempt a plucky escape from the group stage, a result that would become their best ever in a European Championship. But, Harry, who do you think they'd be relying on to get them there?
I think the two come from midfield from me. Obviously, I think we can't look much further than Scott McTominay for what he did in the qualifying. but personally, I think Billy Gilmore had a really good season this season again. And I think he's just able to calm it down at a big tournament like this. You need someone like that who's calm on the ball. So I think Billy Gilmore could have another good tournament for Scotland.
Absolutely. I think you said it as well. Scott McTominay scored 7 goals in qualifying, which is insane for a senior.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And
they've got a decent squad.
Oh, they have. I think if they can pull together, they might produce a result or two. But Dan, do you think there's a one to watch in that Scotland team?
Yeah, I have gone for a striker. I've gone for Lawrence Shankland of Hearts. In the last 2 seasons, he's got 59 goals in 94 games for the Scottish club. And obviously, you know, the Euros is a far higher level, but this is clearly a guy who knows where the goal is. And if Scotland are going to progress beyond the group stage, they will need somebody to score them goals. And I think he could be that man.
Absolutely. A name I don't think I've heard before. So it'd be interesting to see if he gets propelled into the limelight this tournament.
Oh, go on, Daniel. Give us the shout of the tournament. Comes back top goal.
You fucking watch. Lawrence Shankland to glory.
Well, Hungary next. And if their love affair with their manager extends to the players on the pitch, I think they have a shot at making it to the knockouts. They were undefeated in qualifying and look poised to deliver a shock result or two come tournament time. And if you don't know about their manager, it's a really weird story because he's an Italian, Marco Rossi. And he's managed them now since Euro 2020. And he's so smitten with the team that he's taken up Hungarian citizenship.
Oh, nice. I like that.
I know. The fans and the players love him.
He's been in contact with Zoltán Gyura.
But, Dan, who do you think their best player is going to be?
I think it's kind of easy when you look at the Hungary team. It has to be Dominik Szoboszlai, right?
It's an easy choice, but not an easy name to say.
Yeah, he brings a level of quality that others in that squad don't have. Could dictate the play at midfield. So, yeah, definitely their key player and has that quality to help them go forward beyond the group stage, possibly.
Ah, for sure. I think with a lesser-known side like this, there's got to be a one to watch in there that we don't maybe know about. Harry, you've got one on spring into mind?
There's a couple, actually, that I think are at a standard where they could take their game to the next level. Obviously, you've got Willy Orban, who at Leipzig is a solid player. But I think looking maybe a step down from that is Andreas Schäfer from Union Berlin. Obviously, they had a really good season at Union Berlin 2 seasons ago. This season wasn't great, but I think he's had a couple of injuries and not really been selected. But that season, they did do really well. He was a key player. And I think if he gets a lot of game time for Hungary, which I expect he will, you might see a different level up from him.
Very nice. One to keep an eye on, for sure. And finally, for Group A, we have Switzerland. And they've been one of the most surprising and entertaining teams in tournaments recently. They made the knockouts in 5 consecutive competitions, with their best result coming in Euro 2020 and that heartbreaking loss to Spain on penalties. Dan, I'm coming to you again for their best player, because I think there's one standout man in this team.
It's not a bad
team. I'm looking at the squad now. Very good squad. They always tend to have 5 or 6 players in the team you look at and go, yeah, he's good. I like him.
It's usually the case of going, oh, I forgot he was Swiss.
Yeah, there is. I'm looking at Zeki Amdouni here from Burnley and thinking, didn't know he was Swiss. But the player I'm going for is close to my heart, Granit Xhaka. He's had such a wonderful career resurgence, and to top it off with a great performance at the Euros for his country, I think would be really nice. Also, Gregor Kobel in goal, obviously reached the Champions League final with Borussia Dortmund. We know how good of a goalkeeper he is. So yeah, I'd go for Xhaka and Kobel.
They're very nice. I think Shaka's now their most capped player, and obviously their captain as well. So,
oh, very nice.
Sure to be at the heart of anything Switzerland do. Harry, you got any young up-and-comers we should keep an eye out for?
Well, I think Dan mentioned he mentioned Zeki Amdouni there, who for Burnley has definitely shown that he has the quality to succeed as he gets older. I mean, I think he's only 21, 22, something like that. But I think another youngster that I'm sure Wooly knows about him, probably Dan, but I think maybe many in the UK wouldn't, is Noah Okafor. Who I think could have a really good tournament, get himself cemented in that AC Milan squad again. That's my choice there, is Noah.
Yeah, very good shout. Well, that is Group A done. And now it's time to risk it all. Put the cards on the table. We're going to make some predictions, lads. Where do you think they're all going to finish? Harry, I'll come to you first.
Oh, I think it's going to be Germany. I'm going to go Germany, the Swiss, Scotland, Hungary.
Oh, I'd go slightly different. I'd go Germany, Switzerland still to go through. I'd put Hungary in third and Scotland in fourth.
That is the same order I've got mine. I've
debated Scotland for the top two.
Really?
Lauren Shanklin to glory, come on.
I think their squad isn't that bad at all.
It's going to come down to how far forward do they play Scott McTominay.
Just play him up front. Him up front.
They've played him at centre-back and he still scores.
Yeah.
He started his career as a striker, you know.
I mean, I can see why. Man. Yeah. He's a bags man. He scores for days.
To be honest with you, I'd stick him up top for United. Yeah. Like, at this point, what are you going to fucking lose?
This one does feel like there's the two teams in the middle could go anyway. Out of Switzerland and Hungary. I'm going for Switzerland, but I wouldn't be surprised if Hungary scraped through. And also, there is the option of a third place team going through, so we could see through.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be Scotland.
Scotland could get through on that. I do. I think they get through on that.
Well, we'll see how right we are come tournament time. And we're on to Group B, and this could very well be one of the famed groups of death. Because we have here Spain, Croatia, Italy, and Albania.
Yeah.
So obviously Spain first, and they stormed through qualifying with 7 wins and a single loss. Lots of history in the competition, obviously won on 3 occasions, but Luis De La Fuente will be missing some key players down to injury. So Harry, who do you think their star man is going to be? Who can they rely on here?
Oh, it's such a tough one because their team is quite good. But it's also not, you know. They're missing key players, like you said. So I think for that respect, I think the key here is that kind of mentality, focus on what's going on, and how the tournament's going. You've got to have that experience there. So I'm gonna go with Danny Carvajal.
Ooh, not a name I expected.
I just think as a leader in that dressing room, as a certified starter, coming off the back of winning Champions League, the league, you know, he's been there, he's done it. I think he's the key driving forward a bit.
Yeah, I can see that. I think obviously they've got the likes of Rodri in midfield, who is just an outstanding player.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Carvajal's an interesting shout. Dan, you got one to watch for us in this Spain team?
Yeah, I think it's kind of obvious, but I've gone for Lamine Yamal.
Yeah, not really a surprise.
I mean, like, we've all seen the clips. We've seen little highlights of him, maybe in the Champions League or playing for Barcelona. But I think for him to have a moment where he can show himself off on the world stage is going to be huge for him, and I think he'll shine. I think he'll be a key player for Spain.
It's mad as well. He will be 16 and won't turn 17 up until the day before the final, and he's already got what, 6 caps, 2 goals.
Yeah.
Insane.
I think Robin Lenormand is also
so good.
You can't say
his name.
I think he's played a lot in qualifying. I think he averaged something like 75 minutes.
I'm pretty sure he's going to Atletico Madrid as well after the tournament.
Yeah. Really? He is really good.
The interesting thing with Spain is they then do have to rely on players like Morata. Although they do have Champions League winning Hozelu in this team. So
They've got Ferran Torres, who they stick up top. Oyarzabal scores a fair few.
I do think it'll come down to how much do they miss their players who are out through injury, because they've lost some big names.
There's Neco Williams, isn't there? Did Iñaki make the squad? Oh, no, he's at Ghana now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's in his starting goal? Is it Unai Simón or Raya?
Yeah, Simón.
There is Lucas Perez in the squad, isn't there?
Sorry?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, I was going to say, this is the thing, you come out with stuff like this and I don't know.
There is Iose Perez in this squad.
Is there?
Yeah, I was just looking at that like, sorry?
Jesus.
Yep. Jesus Navas is in, Mark Cucurella's in somehow.
I think Iago Aspas.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how they get on. I'd completely forgotten about Dani Olmo as a player, you know, and there he is.
Yeah.
Well, now on to Croatia. And they're an interesting one. They finished second in their qualifying group, but Zlatko Dalic, his work with the team has been stellar up to now when it gets to tournaments. They've had 2 top 3 finishes at the World Cup and a Nations League final appearance. But they'll have to overcome their recent nemesis Spain to have any chance of progressing here. And Spain, funnily enough, have knocked them out of Euro 2020 and beat them in the Nations League final.
Yes.
Just third time the charm for Croatia, hopefully. Dan, have you got a take on their key player here?
Yeah, probably I'd say he's going to be his last international tournament, but what a career he's had. Luka Modric for me.
Oh, for sure. World-class player. Every time you think he's kind of getting to the end of his career,
it's like a fine wine, he just gets better.
Yeah, he just keeps getting better.
He is a Croatian Pirlo.
Yeah. I'm really surprised that Toni Kroos has retired before him as well.
Yeah. I don't know, how good must Luka Modric feel, like, fitness-wise, to still be producing at the level he is?
Oh, for sure.
I was just saying, at that point, like, you've surpassed being good at football. You're just born to do it. If you keep going till
you're
like
up there with the football gods looking down on us mere mortals.
There's a lot to say for the level of, like, fitness and conditioning the players have these days, where you can play well into your late 30s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Harry, have you got a one to watch for us in the Croatia side?
I think not necessarily youngster anymore, but someone who flies under the radar every tournament and seems to always have a good tournament, that is Livakovic in goal for Croatia.
Football Manager legend, him.
Yeah.
He is. I think, he had a really good World Cup, didn't he?
I think so.
And I think we could see him do the business for Croatia, especially if he's coming up against Alvaro Morata.
Yeah, I don't think you need a world-class keeper to stop Alvaro Morata, to be
honest.
Yeah,
but he'll make him look
on
better.
On the topic of football manager heroes, I'd also keep an eye on Martin Batarina, who plays for Dinamo Zagreb, still quite young.
Yes. Great shot,
very talented midfielder. Whether he'll get a game in that midfield, which is kind of stacked. Obviously, they've got Kovacic, Brozovic is still there. Lovro Majer, Modric, you know, he's got a lot of players to compete against, but I think if he does get some game time, he'll make the most of it.
Absolutely.
There is another one who comes out of the league over there, comes out of Rijeka, and that's Marco Pjaca, and I don't know if anyone remembers him.
Oh, the former Wonderkid.
Very aware of Marco Pjaca.
And he's the forward, so I'd keep an eye on him. He's a bit old.
Who's he playing for these days?
Rijeka, out in Croatia.
Oh, okay. Fair. Well, it's an interesting name.
He's 29 now.
Jesus Christ, that's when I feel old.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jesus. Moving on swiftly from that. And to another team who's getting old, Italy. The defending champions. They obviously won their second Euros in 2020. A final we're not going to talk about. But will the champion's curse strike them down this time round? I personally love it if it did. They finished second in their qualifying group. But what do we think, boys? Can they challenge again, or do you think they're too far over the hill now?
I think they'll be struck down with the champion's curse.
Please, inject it into my goddamn veins.
I think they've got it in them. They've definitely got it in them. I mean, they have got quality in the squad. But, like Dan said, champion's curse, finishing second in your qualifying group, not the best.
Yeah, not from the defending champion side. Have you got, think they've got a key player in that squad, Harry? One that you think could potentially help break the curse?
I think if he has a good tournament, I think Barella. I think he's come on leaps and bounds in the last couple of years again.
Absolutely.
He's really, really getting to be one of the best players in the world, especially when you look at the Inter run last year in the Champions League. They dominated the league this year. I think Barella could be key.
Very nice. Dan, you a one to watch in case if we do end up doing something worth watching.
I've gone for a man who's had a wonderful season with Bologna, Riccardo Calafiori. Formerly of Roma, had a bad knee injury during his time at Roma, and has kind of remoulded his career from a fullback to a centre-back with Bologna, and they've obviously had an exceptional season under Thiago Motta. He's forced his way into the Italy team, so yeah, I'd keep an eye on him.
Very nice. And finally for Group B, a team who have the potential to maybe stir the pot a little bit, cause some upsets.
Feathers.
Yes, in Albania. So they've already matched their best ever Euros performance by qualifying for the group stage. But can they go on to shock the world and get out of this tough group? Manager Silvinio will be certainly hoping so.
Sorry?
Silvinio is their manager.
And his, that's unbelievable.
Yep, and his side, would you believe, they've never lost a game in which they've been leading at any point.
What?
Defensively, they are unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, defensively, they are really good.
Okay.
I believe the run is about six games where they've been leading and not lost. And I think this could be a team that a lot of people are more unfamiliar with. I know looking through their squad, there were some names I didn't recognize.
I know about five
names
here. Kit.
Yeah, of those five names, you got any standouts kit. For us?
Yeah, I think Armando Breuer obviously not had the best season with Chelsea and Fulham, but on the international stage, he's surely going to be the main man for them up front.
Yeah, I think so. I did enjoy, probably for his name more than anything else, the Atalanta centre-back, Jim Shitty. Not sure I'd get that on my shirt, but Jim Atalanta Shitty. Are a solid side. So if he's starting for them, he's probably got some top-level experience. Harry, you got a one to watch?
I think with a squad like this being so unknown, you only have to pick players that people might watch again. Kind of thing, you know? So it might be another star man, but I think it could be a one to watch, maybe get a move. And that's Nedim Badrami.
Ooh, okay.
For Sassuolo, who I think he's had a couple of good seasons now. He's 25. But he could get that move.
Yeah, this is one of the things.
You're looking at newly promoted sides who are looking at Sassuolo there, you know.
This is one of the things I like about the Euros, is you get a chance to see these players from the more obscure nations, for example, that you otherwise just wouldn't get a chance to watch.
Yeah, who are decent at a small level, but you know, play a lot of club games at foreign league, they're lower down the league. The only chance of them getting on the global stage is possibly by going with their country to the Euros.
Absolutely. It'd be interesting to see if any emerge from this Albania side. But a tough ask now, lads. How do you think the finishing positions for Group B are going to look?
This is tough. This is tough.
This could go almost any way.
I'm going to go bold.
This could be, because I think Albania are not bad.
I think Albania bold could mine.
Realistically beat Italy.
Yeah, I'm going to say Spain top the group, right. Croatia second, Albania third, Italy fourth.
Ooh.
I might go bolder. I see a shot coming.
This man's about to predict that Albania get out the group, isn't he?
He's going
to
say
Spain, Albania, Croatia, Italy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how do I top that? Albania top the group.
I agree. Fuck it.
I think Spain will go through. I think Croatia get that second spot. But I'm sticking with it. I think Albania finish third.
Wow.
I think they stun Italy.
Mental, by the way.
We are. The defending champions of the Euro. We've all got them in last place.
Get them out. Come on, Albania and Lauren Shankland to fucking glory. Let's go.
Any credibility we had has just gone up in flames.
We were going through this, and I was like, God, we sound really educated football-wise here, and then we've just dropped that.
It took half an hour, but there's the classic stinky opinion.
It felt like
a good podcast for about 20 minutes.
You know what this is fucking revenge from being stood in my living room watching them beat us on penalties. Fuck you, Italy.
We've made it as far as Group B before the stinkers come in. Excellent.
It doesn't bode well when there's six groups left, but...
Imagine it comes through now, though. We're gonna look ungodly if that comes
through.
If the
Germans can't break the champions' curse, it's not going to be the bloody Italians. Well, so we shall see how stupid we are in a couple of weeks' time. But this is the big one. This is the only group that matters. Fuck every other nation. It's Group C. It's Slovenia, it's Denmark, it's Serbia, and it's England. And it's live.
Come on, England. Score some fucking goals.
At this point, all the listeners can hear is Rule Britannia blasting through their headphones. That's what I'm
editing. Bass boosted, it's coming home. Like. Well, we shall leave them for last. But starting with Slovenia, they're another team who have already matched their best ever performance. Their last appearance in the Euros came in 2000. They stormed into second place in qualifying. And might have enough to upset the apple cart now they're here with a sprinkling of big name talent and some wonder kid potential. But Dan, who do you think their star man's going to be?
I think their star man will be someone that Arsenal are chasing, and it'll be Benjamin Cesco. I see him having a really big tournament. Obviously, they've got Jan Oblak in goal, who brings a lot of quality and a lot of experience. But, you know, we've been hearing about Cesco for a number of years now, and I think maybe this tournament will be his opportunity to really announce himself on the scene, and hopefully Arsenal get it wrapped up before he does that, before the price goes up.
Absolutely. I think that could be a quality signing as well. And if he has a great tournament, even better.
Yeah.
Harry, have you got one to watch in this Slovenia team?
I have. I've got a defensive midfielder who comes out of the Slovakian league.
Ooh.
His name's Adrian Zeljkovic. He's only played 18 games at a professional level.
Bloody hell.
And that was enough to get him in the Slovenia side. Yeah, he's 21. In 18 games from centre defensive mid, he's got 3 goals and an assist.
That's so good.
You know, he's putting in good shifts. He's doing the right things. His value shot up in the last couple of months. So we'll see if he could do something out there and see if he can get up.
I also want to give a shout out to Josip Iličić as well. A lot of people remember him for his time at Atalanta. He sadly had a really kind of bad bout of depression, left Italy, was obviously thinking about retirement. But at 36, he's now playing for Maribor back in his home country and has received a call-up for this tournament, which I think is an excellent story. And well done
to him. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yep, for sure.
Another shout. Do you boys remember the semi-wonder kid, David Brekalo?
No, fuck off.
Do you not remember David Brekalo?
No, I've not got
Do you remember him on FM Woolley?
I know Brekalo.
Centre-back, they got quite good. Yeah, he's gone out to Orlando City now, mate. So,
I think I'm thinking of Josip Brekalo or something. But...
Who's Croatian, is he not?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Anyway, I have just noticed as well, Jan Oblak, his nickname is the Octopus of Skopje Loka, which is outstanding.
That's a class. Mouthful.
I tell you what, I'm just going to storm through that name and not stop and think. But right, on to our next team, and it is Denmark. Winners of this competition back in 1992, and obviously semi-finalists in Euro 2020. Losing out in extra time to the mighty Three Lions, but pulling together in an amazing run after those awful scenes involving Christian Eriksen in the group stage. And it was some effort by the manager and the players to really come together and push on for him. But Harry, do you think they're going to have a standout man at this tournament?
Yeah, I think they've got a lot of decent quality through their squad. You know, Rasmus Højlund, probably a good pick, and Christian Eriksen. But I think for his number of seasons at the top level now, playing regularly for a big side, I've gone with Andreas Christensen. I think he's really good for Denmark. And I think they play a back five with him in the middle. He just seems to float between being a sweeper and that kind of centre defensive mid position. So I think Christensen's key for a tournament like this.
Yeah, I think he could be a stalwart at the back for them. Dan, have you got a one to watch?
I do.
Keep an eye on.
I do. I've gone for a midfielder. I've gone for Morten Hjulmand, who plays for Sporting Lisbon. There's been a lot of transfer interest in him. Tottenham and Man United have both been looking at him reportedly. I think a tournament like this could be a good chance for him to put himself in the shop window, maybe boost his profile. Sporting, hopefully, hoping that it'll boost the price a bit. But yeah, I'd see him having a big tournament.
Absolutely. Glad you didn't go for Rasmus Højlund either.
Yeah. Also, I've just noticed they've called up not one, not two, not three, but four Brentford players.
Yeah. They've got a lot of Portuguese league players as well. Like, you know, you're on about one for Sporting there. There's Alexander Barr, who's at Benfica. He's getting on a bit now. He's 26, but he's a good player as well.
Well, the Brentford team squad is now the Denmark national team, and England could very nearly have been Crystal Palace. So
yeah.
Well, yeah. We are not on England yet because we have Serbia on the way first. And Serbia do actually have some history in the Euros from when they competed as Yugoslavia. They finished as runners-up twice in 1960 and 1968. They've been less successful in recent times, failing to qualify for Euro 2020, but Dragan Stojkovic has led them to both the 2022 World Cup and now Euro 2024. But who do you think they'll be relying on here, Dan? Another of these teams that might be slightly lesser known.
They've not got a bad squad, I don't think. They've got some...
It's got a really good squad.
Yeah, I think the standout name is obviously Juventus striker Dusan Vlahovic. We know how good he can be. His goals will be crucial. I'd also look at Sergej Milinkovic-Savic in midfield as well. Obviously moved to Saudi Arabia now, but he's proven for many a season out in Italy that he's got that quality as well to create things and make stuff happen.
Yeah, there are some surprisingly big names. I think Mitrovic is in that team as well. There's a backup striker.
Yeah.
Option. So going forward, they look fantastic.
Kostic, Jovic.
Yep, very true.
Great team.
Harry, have you got a one to watch?
Yeah, I think another name that will go under the radar in this team because of the star quality they have, and he's getting on a bit now, but we've seen that he can produce game-winning performances. I'm going for Dusan Tadic. Just think he is a heartbeat of any team he's in. Becomes a star man automatically. So yeah,
How old is he now?
God knows.
He must be 36-ish.
Because he was getting on when he was still playing in England.
He is 35.
Jeez.
Yeah,
he's still got the quality in him, so you never know.
I'd also, in terms of maybe a younger breakout star, keep an eye on Lazar Samardžić, who plays for Udinese. If you've played Football Manager, you probably would have signed him at some point. wonderfully gifted midfielder who's, you know, maybe going to get the chance to be that breakout star of the Euros.
We shall see.
Yeah, they've got a decent squad. Really decent squad.
Because standing in their way is England. The Three Lions.
Green Army!
Is it finally coming home in the men's game? They're another team who stormed through qualifying, but they've always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. Their best results being, obviously, runners-up against Italy in Euro 2020. The pressure's on Southgate now. He's performed well at recent tournaments, but there's always going to be scrutiny from the press and the fans, especially with unhelpful losses in friendlies just before the tournament starts. Who do you think's going to be our key player, Harry? I think there's
Dean Henderson.
I think there is one name it probably is going to be, but...
there's a lot of star players here. Phil Foden's obviously had the season of his life, but I think it's going to be Harry Kane. As captain and one of the top marksmen in Europe, you're looking to him to lead.
You know, absolutely.
Not only England through the tournament, but lead the goal scoring chart.
Yeah, I think it might be bold, but I think this England team lives and dies by how Harry Kane plays. If he spends the entire game tracking back into his own half and playing in the middle of the pitch, we'll struggle.
I think that's the one kind of position you're lacking depth.
I've got Ollie Watkins now, mate.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but he's not doing it internationally.
And you watch.
I mean, I'd be happy to be proved wrong.
Yeah, I think also as well, Jude Bellingham's got to be the standout star in this England team. He's an insane player. Very glad he's English. Dan, have you got a one to watch? I think this team's very well known, but
I do. And if this hadn't have happened, I think it would have been difficult to pick. But obviously, the injury to Harry Maguire and him not going to the tournament has left a big spot for somebody to fill. And I think the man who will fill it and do very well at the tournament, big fan of him, Mark Gay, I think he'll slot in.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think he'll have a good tournament too.
I agree with you. I think that's a great shout. I think any of those Palace players that have been picked were a good choice.
Eze was also my thinking off the bench. Oh, I think he provides something different that other players
maybe
don't.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's got that. Yeah. Wasn't he meant to go to the last tournament as well? I think he had a really bad Achilles injury, right?
I think he didn't get picked. I think he got trimmed.
No, I'm sure he was bad. I'm sure he was injured. I think it might have been the Euros, not the World Cup.
I hope we get to see Adam Warren. I think he is an unbelievable player.
I think if the group's wrapped up, I could see him getting some minutes in the dead rubber in Game 3. But I think if you're...
And I think someone that could prove a few wrong as well is Anthony Gordon. I think he's got a bit of confidence about him to go into a tournament like this and actually do something.
Yeah, I think we are very deep in the wide positions. So it'd be interesting to see what Gordon can do. I think obviously Foden and...
I think they'll play him through the middle.
Really? No, fair.
I think they could play him through the middle.
It shall be interesting. Well, boys, that's the end of Group C. Are we going for a similar bold prediction for this one? Where do you think they're all going to finish?
No. England fourth.
Do you want me to go first as a non-England fan?
Yeah, you go first.
I'm going to go England, Serbia, Denmark, Slovenia.
Ooh, that's not what I've gone for.
What are you thinking, Dan?
I've gone England, Denmark, Serbia, Slovenia.
Yeah, I think that's the other way to go.
I think that is the same order I have mine in as well. I think that Denmark team is very good.
I think that's Serbia.
England should be cruising
the logical choice.
That's Serbia choice.
Yeah, anything other than
first, I think Serbia have got an unreal
manager's
team.
Gone. They do. I haven't seen most of their star players playing recently.
The thing is, they're always a bit shit in major tournaments.
Yeah, they are. They usually get a horrid group, though. Anyway.
Well, speaking of horrid groups, we have another one that has the potential to go in a couple of different ways with Group D. We have the Netherlands, we have France, we have Poland, and we have Austria. Oof.
Fuck
yeah. That is obviously two standout names in this group, but those remaining two teams,
they're not easy.
On their day, I think they could beat definitely the Netherlands. Well, starting with the Netherlands, obviously another story team in this competition. They won it in 1988. Recently, they went out in the round of 16. I think Euro 2020, they lost out to Czechia. But Ronald Koeman will be hoping they can take some of their good form from qualifying into the tournament itself. He had a kind of a rough start to his career, but they do seem to have steadied the ship. But, Harry, have you got a key player?
Oh, it comes to the key player. I think there's a lot of choices with big names out there, with, you know, Van Dijk, De Ligt, Wijnaldum's still in the squad. But I think for the season and the couple of years he's had, I'm going to go with Xavi Simons. I think,
you bastard.
I think
so. I was going to go for.
I think he's been, I think he's been unreal recently, and I think he could be their star man.
Yeah, he's a name that's been bandied about a lot before this tournament. I think we heard about him a few years ago from Football Manager, but seeing him actually live up to the plaudits,
you know, he's moved forward on the pitch and just looking a lot better.
Yeah, oh for sure. Dan, have you got a one to watch that isn't Xavi Simons?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go for a man who looks to be on the verge of a move to Juventus and helped Atalanta to win the Europa League. I've gone for Tinu Koopmeiners. I think he's somebody who's flown under the radar for a number of years, but has got a lot of talent and can do pretty much everything you want him to do in that midfield, whether it be going forward, screening the defence, box to box. I think he's got it all. Yeah. I'm really big good fan shot. Of him, and I hope he has a good Euros.
Yeah, I think one to watch for me, Jeremy Frimpong from Bayer Leverkusen. I think Frimpong's been an outstanding player. He's got some of the highest production for a fullback. I think it's like 18 goals he's been involved in.
It's interesting you say fullback, because the squad list I'm looking at, they've got him down as a forward.
Jeez.
I don't know how they've done that.
Do you know, I completely forgot he was Dutch.
Yeah, very true.
The pick I've got is Brian Boby from Ajax.
Oh, yeah, the centre forward.
If they give him a couple of starts, yeah, he could get a lot.
That is weird that he comes down as a forward, because he's a right back.
Yeah.
That's so strange. I mean, they've also got the likes of, what, Cody Gakpo up front. I think he's in the squad.
Yeah, they've got a lot of big names. Calvin Stengs. A lot of big names.
I think they're lacking in midfield, I'll be honest. I'm looking at it, apart from De Jong and Koopmeiners, I'm like, oh. Wijnaldum's in the squad
that's
as well.
How? Yeah.
And they just never have a good goalkeeper.
I don't know. Well, it's funny you say that. One of the players I was possibly going to put forward as kind of a breakout star was the goalkeeper, Justin Bigelow. He's been linked as a kind of Aaron Ramsdale's replacement at Arsenal. Plays for Feyenoord in the Eredivisie and has had a very good few seasons.
He's not going to get picked over Flecken and Verbruggen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, really? 100%. He'll be the starting keeper, I think. I'm pretty sure he's got a lot of caps for the Netherlands already.
Oh, I think you're right, actually. I don't mind Verbruggen as a keeper. Mm. I don't like Flecken. I don't think he's a
Do you want an interesting factoid about the Dutch at the Euros?
Go on.
Go on.
Yeah, in the 88 Euros that they won.
Yeah.
One of the goals was their first headed goal at a major final. And that goal was the only one that was not finished or created by Marco van Basten.
The Dutch don't head a football, mate. They just keep it on the floor. You don't need to head it.
Total football.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of total football, shall we move on to France?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, is there much point?
Yep, this team is insane. Qualifying, they stormed through. They scored 29 goals and only conceded 3 across 8 matches. Mbappe obviously leading the line. 9 goals in qualifying, and I'd be very stunned if he doesn't continue that into the tournament. Won in 2 occasions. The Euros, obviously World Cup champs as well. Their Euro success coming in 1984 and 2000. 2020 was slightly more disappointing. A shock loss on penalties to Switzerland in a great game that was 3-3 after extra time. But they've got one of the most decorated managers in world football and a squad brimming with quality. Is it even worth asking who the key player is in this French team? It's Mbappe.
See, I would disagree.
Oh, yeah?
I would say a man who is playing his last international games for France. France's all-time leading goal scorer, probably one of the most underrated footballers of all time. I'm not taking a piss here, I would go for Olivier Giroud. I think we've seen it time and time again with France, especially when they won the World Cup. He might not score as many goals as the likes of Mbappe and Griezmann around him, but he makes everybody around him better. He links the play so well. I think he's a key component for them. And with it being his last tournament, I think he'll have a blinder, personally.
I agree. I think he is a criminally underrated centre-forward. His ability to create and not just score goals is huge. I do think he has a tendency to occasionally kind of go a bit cold. I don't think it's as much of a problem for country as it is for club.
Yeah, but I think even when he goes cold, he still offers you so much in terms of the way he brings people into the game. Like he's not the kind of striker who, if he's not scoring, won't do anything.
And at the very least, even if he's not scoring, he will be there to celebrate with you when you do.
Yeah, exactly.
And you always need someone like that in the dressing room.
And he'll be looking fucking gorgeous while he does it.
He is a very sexy man. Harry, have you got a one to watch for us?
Yeah, I think it's tough to pick a one to watch from a team where you know that some of the youngsters won't get a game. Brandon Barcola is a good player, but I very much doubt you'll get any sort of appearances. So I'm going to go with a youngster who I think could get into the squad ahead of some of that midfield, and that's Warren Zaire-Emery. You know, obviously does it for PSG, starts in that team, plays in that team, goes Champions League, goes all the way through it. So you'd be hard-pressed not to pick him in this team, certainly ahead of some of the aging players, like, you know, maybe Rabiot doesn't get...
Yeah, I think he became the youngest player to appear and score for France, didn't he? So he's definitely got bags of ability.
Exactly. He's definitely going to get some sort of game time out there. Tchouaméni, Camavinga and Zaire-Emery is a very capable...
Sorry, how did you pronounce his name? Tchouaméni?
Tchouaméni.
Yeah, Tchouaméni.
Tchouaméni, isn't it?
We've had three different pronunciations.
We've all said three separate ways.
I've always said Tchouaméni. I think the T is silent. I think it's Tchouaméni.
Tchouaméni.
We'll go with that. Fine, didn't realise as well, Antoine Griezmann, obviously class player, getting on a bit, but still world class. He holds the record for most consecutive appearances in international football history.
Wow.
Wow.
He appeared in 84 consecutive France
Jesus games Christ.
Between August 2017 and November 2023.
That's unbelievable.
You want consistency?
Yeah, he's also a key man in this team.
Yeah, I think he goes a bit forgotten, if you can believe that, because you have the likes of Mbappe.
When they played him at CAM during that World Cup, he was unbelievable. I was like watching, I don't know, like some sort of hybrid of the best forward and a best midfielder into Cam. He was unreal.
I've got a slight issue with this France squad.
Mm.
He may have won a World Cup, but I think Didier Deschamps is one of the biggest idiots in football. with this team, he should have won every single tournament they've had available to win. Let's be honest. The squad is that.
Yes. I agree. I don't think Deschamps is very good.
So his apparently...
Record speaks for itself, but...
Yeah, apparently in the French press, they're saying that the starting centre-back partnership is going to be Upamecano and Konaté. They've got William Saliba in the squad and Jules Koundé. How on God's green earth Konaté and Upamecano the starting centre? Every time I've watched Upamecano, he makes a mistake. I think he's shit, personally. Yeah. I don't think he's good at all.
My limited understanding of the Bayern fan base is that they think he's been dog shit this season. So,
how Saliba is not the starting centre-back is beyond me. He's been absolutely
Saliba
incredible.
Was the best centre-back in the Premier League. So it can only be that Didier Deschamps is a Spurs fan.
He's a fucking moron.
Do they play Koundé at right back?
I think they possibly do play Koundé at right back because they've got Jonathan Klaus in there. But
would you have Koundé, Saliba, and well, I guess Konaté?
No, I wouldn't play either of them.
I don't mind Konaté.
I'd play somebody else at right back and put Koundé and Saliba as the centre backs. Personally,
that's probably where they're lacking is in that centre of the field.
I think they're not lacking if Deschamps played the best fucking players.
Oh no, they you'd start Koundé, and Saliba. You'd have Benjamin Pavard as right back.
Yeah, madness.
Even Teo Hernandez left back. Is Lucas Hernandez in the squad?
No, he's not. I don't think. No.
And there's also the classic French thing of they are one team disagreement away from imploding.
Oh man, 2010 World Cup.
I don't know
anymore.
I think they've still got Anelka some big in personalities in that dressing room. Maybe not on the level of Anelka, but it's a powder keg.
They all play together, though, don't they?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And speaking of interesting, the rest of this group gets a little bit spicy. Because next up, we have Poland. Poland, a team who scraped through, admittedly, in the qualifying stage. They finished third place in Group E. No prizes for guessing that Lewandowski led the way. Their best result came in 2016 where they made the quarterfinals and then went out in the group stage in Euro 2020. They're a team that doesn't necessarily reach the same heights some of the others in this group, but they've got some talent in the squad. Obviously, Lewandowski, their talisman. I think he's fairly nailed on in my eyes as their key player.
Nobody's ever heard of that bloke.
Yeah. But is there one to watch from either of you in this Poland side?
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to get on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might have the same choice here, won't we, Daniel?
Possibly.
Have you got Kasper Urbanski?
No, I don't, actually. I don't.
Go on, you go first.
I've gone for an Arsenal player. I've gone for Jakub Kiwior. I think he maybe played a bit more than we expected for Arsenal this season. And I was quite impressed with him when
he did.
I think at left back, he did a great job. I think big tournament for him, either at centre back or left back, wherever they decide to play him. But yeah, he's one of the more recognisable names in that Poland squad. So I can see him having a good tournament.
Harry, what about you?
I've gone for obviously we've seen the season at Bologna. They've got a young 19-year-old in midfield who's been called up to the Poland squad in Kasper Urbanski.
Mm.
Obviously as a youngster, like we saw with Atalanta a couple of years ago, if you were a youngster there and you played well, you got selected for your nation. They went on to the Euros and they did good things. So Kasper Urbanski from Bologna, obviously with them having the season they had, choice for me.
Very nice. I think Jakub Piotrowski as well from Ludogorets starred in their Conference League campaign.
Potential to score
some worldies, I think.
I've just noticed that former Hull winger, who is now 36,
Kamil Grzycki
is in this squad.
Yes. Yep.
Playing in Poland as well. How the fuck has he got a call up?
He's 36.
How?
Jesus.
Yeah. He wasn't bad when he was...
He got 16 goals in 43 games in the Polish League this season. But come on. He's 36, man.
Yeah, and I think this tournament, I'm not sure anyone expects anything from them. This is probably Lewandowski's last hurrah in a Poland shirt, however.
Yeah, I'd agree.
It's his fourth Euros final. Not expecting much, but hopefully he has a good tournament.
I don't think he's ever been that good at major tournaments. I don't remember him having a...
No.
No, I suppose they don't have necessarily anyone else on his quality. Yeah. And finally, Austria. Another team looking to really make their mark for the first time. Their best result came in 2020 when they made the round of 16, obviously losing out after extra time to Italy there. They have an interesting coach, none other than Ralf Rangnick of Man United recently, known as the godfather of gegenpressing. They've got an interesting team. They finished runners-up in Group F, so they've got some quality, scoring 17 goals. But, Dan, have you got a key player for this Austria side?
Yeah, I do. I think they've also had a really good build-up to this tournament, by the way. They beat Germany 2-0. They've beaten Serbia 2-1, and they smashed Turkey 6-1. So they're coming into this in some good form.
They've won their last five.
Yeah, looking very good. The player I have gone for, I actually quite like this squad. I think they've got a lot of quality in there.
I do.
I'm going to go for a defensive midfielder. I'm going to go for Nicholas Seewald. Plays for RB Leipzig, formerly of RB Salzburg. There's been a lot of hype around him in the past few years. Possibly, rumblings of a transfer this summer. But yeah, I think he'll be the key for them at the base of midfield.
Absolutely, he was my one to watch for this Austria side. I mean, obviously, another one we know from Football Manager, but he's got bags of ability. I think as well with they've lost David Alaba for this tournament, haven't they? So they need someone to kind of.
Oh, they have. I didn't notice that. Yeah.
But Harry, have you got one to watch?
Yeah, I'm going with the Leipzig link up there. I'm going with a Salzburg defender. I'm going with Flavius Danilovic, who 23 year old for Salzburg, played obviously European football, looked good in that. Obviously in the Austrian league they didn't win the title, but I can see him maybe having a good tournament if he gets the game.
I'd also keep an eye on another centre back, Leopold Kerfeld, plays at Rapid Vienna. Very highly
great
rated
name as well.
Yeah, Leopold Kerfeld, that is a wonderful name. very highly rated. If you play Football Manager, I'm sure you would have signed him in the last few years.
Yeah, for sure. They've got the likes of Savitz in that midfield as well. He's a quality player.
Still got Marko Arnautovic as well, kicking about.
And Baumgartner, who scored the fastest ever international goal.
Andreas Weimann's in this fucking squad.
Oh, yes, that's heritage.
What the fuck?
Yes, Andy.
Well, speaking of heritage, that is Group D finished. What are we going for, boys?
Oh, I think this is a difficult one to call, you know.
I think, in my mind, the first place is nailed on.
Yeah, I'd go France, Netherlands, Austria, Poland. I think it will be close between Austria and the Netherlands, but
yeah, I think we're all in agreement
on
this.
I'm going for the same.
I think the only contention would be if Austria can sneak through in second place. Because the Dutch have been fairly disappointing in some recent tournaments.
Or maybe Poland, maybe Poland getting third.
Yeah.
It's because they've got Ronald Koeman as fucking manager. He ain't shit.
We've got Ronald Koeman and we've got Ralf Rangnick in this thing, so it's not.
And we've got Roberto Martinez as well.
And Silvino's here.
I love that Silvino's there. Yeah, we're all agreed on Group D. So let's move on to one who I think this is maybe the closest group of them all.
This is up in the air, isn't it, really?
Because obviously there's one standout team who are questionable in terms of their performance versus expectation sometimes.
Especially at the fucking
Belgium,
especially
with
their,
the chat.
Speaking as a Welsh,
especially with their centre forward,
a Welsh fan. Speaking as a Welsh fan, I know that they are shit at Euros.
Yeah, well, no prizes for guessing. This is Belgium's group. This is Ukraine, Slovakia, Belgium, and Romania. And obviously, Ukraine, everything going on, it is somewhat of a miracle they've actually managed to qualify for this. They qualified via the playoffs after finishing in third. And their last tournament was their best, Euro 2020, obviously making the quarterfinals. They did lose out 4-0 to the mighty Three Lions. Get Rule Britannia playing again. And they're coached by Sergei Rebrov. So,
oh, yeah. Very nice.
A team that, I don't know about you, expectations are kind of up in the air for them. I genuinely couldn't tell you how it's going to go.
I like this squad. I'm looking at it now. I like this.
They're supposed to be... Yeah, they're supposed to be ones to watch.
Yeah. Maybe a dark horse. That we'll
get
to later. Dan, have you got a key player for us?
I do have a key player. I'm going for somebody who's really made a name for himself in the past year. I am going for Artem Dovbyk, who plays for Girona, who obviously had a fantastic season. Oh, yes. I think he was up there in the race for La Liga's top scorer. He joined them from Dnipro in Ukraine last summer. He's got 24 goals in 36 games for Girona this past season. So, yeah, definitely one to watch up front for them.
Yeah, very nice. I think Ilya Zabanyi from Bournemouth has been cracking this year as well.
Oh,
yeah.
That's my fucking one.
Oh, I've nicked it. Go on, but tell us about Zabanyi.
I think the reason he's one to... Sorry, apologies.
You're not allowed to say it. Ben's got a sense.
Because obviously he's still 21. There's a chance of him having a really good tournament and the season he's had at Bournemouth of getting a move if someone came in with big money, you know? I think Zabanyi, as you said, being quality this season and looking forward to watching him maybe have a good tournament, especially in the group they've got. There's a couple of other ones
I've
in there.
I've got a few more names as well.
No one's taken a punt on Rodrigo.
Victor Sigankov.
Yeah, Sigankov was their top scorer in qualifying. So.
I was going to mention Sigankov because the other week he dropped one of the coldest celebrations I've ever seen. He scored a goal for Girona and ran over to the crowd, and some bloke handed him a lightsaber, and he stood there pressed the button and lit up the lightsaber and then struck some kind of Jedi pose. Not seen that in football before.
If there isn't an edit of that of him like on some sort of spaceship in a dark room, like immediately, we've failed.
I would like to see Mikhailo Mudryk have a good tournament fuck as well. And then go back to Chelsea and do shit all.
I want him to play well enough to get a new Chelsea contract on like double the wage and then go back and be shit.
And then go back and be a shitter.
One name I would like to point out as a possible breakout star is Georgi Sudakov from Shakhtar Donetsk. There's been a lot of talk about him and his talents in the last few years. Still very young, I think he's 2021. I think he could be somebody who, if he has a good tournament, maybe gets a big move off the back of it. So,
I think across from that, you've got a Dynamo Kiev midfielder as well. Is it Vladimir Brazko, the 22-year-old? And he's been wanted by a lot of bigger clubs outside of Ukraine as well.
Well, I've never heard of him, so he might be the genuine breakout star.
Right, so on to our next team, we have Slovakia. And they're another team with a bit of a storied history in this. Because as Czechoslovakia, they won it in 1976.
Oh, nice.
Obviously, really? Yeah, as Slovakia, slightly less successful. Their best result coming in the round of 16 in 2016. And in 2020, they went out in the group stage, unfortunately. But they had a good qualifying run here. 7 wins out of their 10 games played. They've got a rather interesting manager in Francesco Calzona, who's done the football manager thing of managing a national team and being the head coach at Napoli. And has done so since February, which is quite nice.
Wow. Conte's gone to Napoli now, hasn't he?
Yeah, so I believe he stepped down and is just Slovakia boss. But a team that has some nice sort of talent hidden in here. Harry, have you got a key player for us?
Yeah, I think you spoke about the Napoli link there, and I think, you know, there's not many names in here that you would have heard of, but I think Stanislav Lobotka from Napoli is probably my choice of their star player going into this tournament.
Yeah, very nice. I think Milan Skriniar as well is fantastic centre-half. I think
Skriniar as well.
He took over from Marek Hamsik, I think, which is what a player. Forgotten about him.
Yeah.
What a player.
But you got one to watch for us, Dan?
Do you want my honest answer?
No.
Yeah, I fucking don't know anybody in this squad. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll go, actually, do you know what? We'll go for somebody I've used on Football Manager. That's all I can base this off. Dennis Vivaro for Copenhagen. Very, very talented centre-back in the virtual world. We'll see about the real world. I'd also just want to shout out Andre Duda's name because he was shit for Norwich, so it'll make Harry angry.
Oh, he was so bad. Oh, I've never seen him. Do you know, we had him for 6 months and I don't think he cleared the first man at a corner for all
That's
of
a lot of fines, that is.
Yeah, I think Slovakia are one of those teams where you know their star players, but you don't see very much of the rest of their squad.
Oh, there is Marek Rodak, the Fulham keeper.
He's not going to play, is he? No, I think it'll be Dubravka.
Yeah, that's true.
So this next one is obviously the talking point for Group E. We are, of course, talking about Belgium. A team who every tournament we go to, they seem to be touted as the dark horse, the underdog. This is their moment to finally come through. They were very highly rated in the FIFA rankings for no discernible reason.
Yeah.
They best result, they made the final in 1980, obviously recently losing out in the quarters to Italy 2-1. Storm through qualifying again, 6 wins, 2 draws, no losses. Scored a phenomenal 22 goals and only conceded 4 across 8 games. Surprisingly, Romelu Lukaku actually managed to find the net and did so 14 times. So he goes in with a bit of form for Belgium. But what do we think is going to happen with them this tournament, lads?
I genuinely think they're going to do quite well. And I'll tell you why.
I do as well.
I think some of the big name, the egos, aren't there in the squad. And they've got a lot of good, promising young talent. You look at people like Bakayoko from PSV Eindhoven. Charles De Ketelaere, who I think will be their breakout star. He has been excellent for Atalanta. Yeah. Jeremy Doku, Lois Openda. Lois Openda, Amadou Onana, Arthur Vermeeren, who's gone to Atletico Madrid, was formerly of Antwerp, touted as one of the best young midfielders in the world. I think they've got a lot of young talent. Zeno De Bast as well from Anderlecht, the centre-back.
I can't remember how you say his name, but is it Astor Vrančić?
Yeah, I think that's how you
say it. Oh, Vrančić, there's
so much young talent. They're almost getting possibly their second golden generation coming through.
Absolutely. So, and I mean, they've still got some elements of the first golden generation still there, because you've got the likes of De Bruyne in this team, who's their key player. Probably the best midfielder in the world.
And I think Leandro Trossard could have an unbelievable tournament.
I think looking at this group, this is really one they should definitely be winning, and winning comfortably.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It just depends on...
They'd be disappointed not to, wouldn't they?
Which Lukaku do they get?
Well, they might play Lukaku up top.
I think they'll play Openda up front, personally.
Yeah, they could do. Yeah, you're right there.
I think Openda had quite a decent season at Leipzig, did he not?
I think he got
24 goals and 7 assists in 34 matches, which is a very good record.
Well, the final team in this group is one that could very well be another dark horse this competition. Because we have Romania, a team that I don't think anyone would expect too much from. Their best European performance came in 2000 when they made the quarterfinals, unfortunately not qualifying for Euro 2020. But in their qualifying run, they won Group I with an unbeaten record. Yeah. Played 10, won 6, scored 16 goals. They had a whole swathe of players on joint top scorer. I think their coach has kind of turned their team around. I know he said it in his interviews a lot. He wants to build this sort of generational side for the national team. But do you think there's a key player in this squad, Harry?
I think we have to kind of go for Radu Dragosan. As a 22-year-old, to be one of the star names of your country, I think there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Obviously, he hasn't done that much at Spurs, if at all anything. But I think you've got to look to him to be defensively solid. And we know that players can perform differently for international sides than they do at clubs. So, yeah, I'd probably go with Radu Dragosan for this.
Yeah, I think he'd be my standout too. Dan, have you got any ones to watch in a more unknown Romania side?
I do. I've gone for the wonderfully named Dennis Mann.
I love Dennis Mann. I think he's a class player.
Plays for Parma in Serie B. He's a winger. Had a decent season for them. 11 goals and 6 assists in 32 games. They've got a good record for Romania, as I think 7 goals in 23 caps for them. Offers them, somebody who can beat a man, has a goal threat, which I think will obviously be important for them.
Yeah, very nice.
I think you've got to also look at... the god-tier son of Giannis Hagi.
Well, speaking of sons, I'm not saying that they're destined for something good here, but their manager, Edward Iordanescu, his father, Angel, coached the team when they made the quarters back in 1994. So
there you are, then. Slap a 5
history roll. Might also repeat itself here.
On the opposite wing for them as well, keep an eye on Florinel Koeman. No relation to Kingsley Koeman. playing for... Stal Bucharest, but still in Romania. 14 goals and 8 assists in 27 games this season. So him and Mann out wide could have good tournament side.
Yeah, very nice. That brings us to the end of Group E. And now we've got the tough task of what order do you think this lot are going to finish in?
Oh.
And this one I think is tough.
I think I've got it already. I think Belgium win the group. I think Ukraine come second.
Yeah,
Romania third, Slovakia fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. Possibly Belgium, Romania. Possibly.
Yeah, I think it'll be tight between Ukraine and Romania. But I think Ukraine have maybe just got a little bit more quality.
I agree.
Yeah, I think the Romania side is more of an unknown, so they have the potential to cause some shocks. But I would be stunned if the top two aren't Belgium and Ukraine. I think Belgium, anything less than first, and they're sacking everyone.
Yeah, I agree.
Finally, our last group. This one, they should sort itself out fairly quickly. Group
Georgia
F,
win
we
the
have
group.
Portugal. Yep, we have Portugal, we have Czechia, we have Georgia, and we have Turkey. Portugal, yeah. Obviously, winners in 2016, went out in the round of 16, however, at Euro 2020. Absolutely crushed qualifying. I don't know why they bothered playing half the games. They played 10, won 10, Ronaldo on the score sheet 10 times. They scored 36 goals, only conceded twice. So they're coming in some good form. Roberto Martinez is the only potential drawback to this Portugal side, not being the highest quality international boss. But he has won over some of their fans and players. I think he learnt Portuguese, sort of getting their good books.
Wow. Oh, fucking well done, mate.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Stunning performance.
You big, bold dickhead.
Dan, have you got a key player for us? Is it just Ronaldo?
Could I make a possible switch and do the breakout star, please? Because I'm a huge
of course
fan
you can.
Of
no,
this player.
No, no,
that's
no.
It. Why don't you both give us one for both, since you
okay,
can't share.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
fair
okay.
enough.
I think their key player will be Rafael Leao. I think we've heard a lot about him in the past few years over at AC Milan. A lot of talent, real goal threat, and I think he'll be the man up top who steps up and maybe replaces the goals of Ronaldo, because I'm not convinced how many games he's going to play, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he is possibly over the hill at this point. I think another one, key player, obviously Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
I think and Bernardo Silva, but a Man United fan I work with is convinced
You've nicked mine now.
Bruno Fernandes is going to score a penalty to knock out England, and he's just going to be so devastated.
Fair enough. The breakout star I've got, I'm a huge fan of this guy. Part of the Jean-Philippe Mateta tucked-in shirt gang as well, so expect Crystal Palace to make a move soon. Although I think he might be out of their price range at the reported £120 million. I've gone for Benfica's João Neves. Wonderfully gifted midfielder, touted as one of the next midfield greats for this generation that's coming through. Huge fan of him, and I think he'll have a good tournament if he can get some minutes.
Yeah, both good shouts.
I've got a key player that is probably under the radar. I think if he gets a game time, which I can't see why he wouldn't, I'm going with João Paulinho.
Oh yeah, big fan.
Yeah, true.
Unbelievable for Fulham, and I think he is like Rodri really in the glue that holds together a lot of the team.
Let me guess, your breakout star is 40-year-old Pepe.
No, my breakout star is Gonçalo Inácio.
How have we not gone for Antonio Silva, by the way?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think Inacio's class though for Sporting. Probably playing at left back, maybe at centre back, we'll see him. He could have a tournament like Vardy all couple
that's,
of years
that's a
ago.
Great centre back pairing, Inacio and Antonio Silva. Yeah. Like that a lot.
Yeah, and you've got Pepe there. You've got Ruben Diaz, who's obviously gonna start.
Yeah, of course.
And I think we could see a good tournament out of Pedro Neto. Nice to see him fit for one.
I like that. I like that squad they've got, you know. Shame about the manager, but...
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, it
it's
is just that thing if they're going to get held back by having the moron in charge.
I think they've got the second or third best squad at the Euros.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
They,
prediction.
They're your dark horse, are they? They're falling into the Roberto Martinez
sorry.
Dark horse.
I'm not sure we can class Portugal as a fucking dark horse.
Yeah,
yeah, true.
Do you know, I've asked five people this week who their money's on. They've all said Portugal.
Damn. I think you put yours on Spain.
I'll put one on Spain.
What do you expect?
Well, the rest...
Maybe it was better odds.
The rest of the group, the quality does fall off slightly from there. We'll move on to Czechia, the Czech Republic.
So when did we stop calling them the Czech Republic, by the way?
It was a couple of years ago.
About five years ago.
Fair enough.
It's not a new thing. Obviously, also technically winners as Czechoslovakia in 1976. As the Czech Republic, their best result, they were runners-up in 1996, so 20 years later. The last Euros, they made the quarters. Very impressive result for them. Losing out 2-1 to a Denmark side that went on to the semis. And lost to the mighty Three Lions, right?
Oi.
Oi. I think this squad got some talent in it. Dan, have you got a key player for us?
Yeah, I have. I think he was probably the breakout star of the last Euros. And I could see him having another good tournament. Obviously, just won the league with Bayer Leverkusen as well. I've gone for Patrick Schick.
Yeah, I think that's
quality forward. Surprisingly,
that's a fair shout, isn't it?
He did score the goal. Was it goal of the tournament at Euro 2020?
Yeah, against Scotland, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah. He wasn't their top scorer in the qualifying, but they kind of shared the load there across a couple of players. They did finish runners-up, so they didn't come in outstanding form. But Harry, have you got a one to watch for us for the Czech Republic?
Yeah, I've gone for the Wolfsburg midfielder, Vlachav Cherny. He's had a decent couple of seasons at Wolfsburg. Could you know, start in that midfield that isn't necessarily stacked. Antonin Barak from Fiorentina, obviously another good choice there. But yeah, you could see him get a couple of game time and maybe try and make something happen.
Yeah, very nice. Cerny, one of their top scorers going into the competition as well. And next up, a team who kind of scraped their way into Euro 2024. We have Georgia.
Hey, don't matter how you get there.
No disrespect to them, this is their first Euros ever. So no expectations, just go out there.
Unbelievable achievement.
Oh, for sure.
You think of what they've come through over the last couple of years. Unbelievable achievement.
As I said, they did come through in fourth place in Group A. They had to go through the playoffs and beat out Luxembourg and Greece. So you know what? There's a bit of pedigree in there. Led the way by Kvaratskhelia with four goals. And I imagine he's going to be their key player, Harry, unless you've got anyone else in mind.
No, that would be my that would definitely be my key player. I think he is what Gareth Bale was to Wales, where yes, you might be able to keep a game close, but you need someone who's going to go up the other end and do it for you. And I think that he is one of the best at the tournament at doing that. So yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I think
that's my choice.
They won the Italian league last year, Napoli, and he was huge for them.
Yeah,
was, double-digit goals in his second campaign as well.
Yeah, I do have a one to watch, but if Daniel won't...
No, I do. I do have a one to watch.
Oh, give us your one to watch then.
I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but I've gone for Georges Mikaudze, who is...
Same player.
Who is
a
striker who plays for Metz. So in the 2022-23 season, he got 23 goals in 37 games. That was in French second division. Very impressive record. Got him a move to Ajax, where he only played six times. Then he went back to Metz midway through this previous season. And in Ligue 1, he got 13 goals in 20 games. So very good record. Has definitely got some goal-scoring pedigree. So I think along with Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, it could be a key going forward for them. Also, the goalkeeper, Georgi Mardashvili as well.
Yeah, I was going to say Mardashvili. He's linked with a move to Barcelona, I think.
Yeah. So you can tell Dan's been practicing some of his pronunciations before the podcast. He just wants to slip of it.
A lot of people hate saying the name Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, but I love it. It's so much fun to say. It's like Dominic Szoboszlai. Just good fun to say.
Oh, yeah, true.
Get your mouth moving in a different way. Yeah,
twisting that tongue.
And finally, our last team in Euro 2024, we have Turkey.
Fucking.
It was almost underwhelming.
Because you know what's going to happen. We're going to take a look at this squad and we're going to go, oh, he's good. Oh, I really like him. Yeah, he's decent. And then they're going to lose every game. There's no point being here. Like,
I don't think their squad's as good as it was before. Fucking shit.
I was about to say, you know why I'm disappointed? Because they have to talk about fucking Cenk Tosun again.
Fuck off, has he got a call up? You're taking the piss.
Yeah, and he was their joint top scorer in qualifying.
Oh my God.
Wait, do you want to know how many goals? Two.
So how are they here?
Yeah, their best ever result in the Euros was all the way back in 08 when they reached the semi-finals. Obviously, we're out in the group stages at Euro 2020. As we've mentioned, they're qualifying. They managed to win their group somehow. They played eight, they won five, scoring 14 goals along the way. Obviously, joint top scorer, Cenk Tosun. What a man. We get to this Turkish team. As we said, we're going to go through it because I like a lot of their players. And their one to watch is a fantastic player. But
yeah,
they are just going to lose every game now, aren't they? Who is their key player, Dan, do you think?
I think their key player will be a man who's not played as much as he maybe would have liked after his big summer move to Real Madrid, but I don't think you can look beyond Arda Güler. A wonderful playmaker. Will make anything happen at any time. So, yeah, I'd like to see him have a big tournament, I think, and hopefully ignite that Real Madrid career and be as good as we think he can be.
I was going to say, he's either going to be the one to watch or the key player.
No, I've got somebody else want to watch.
Oh really, Harry? Have you got one for one to watch?
Yeah, I've got the Benfica midfielder Orkun Kokku, who he's only, I think he's 23, and he's currently been linked with some very big moves. Got the move from Feyenoord to Benfica. He's currently linked with, Leicester, West Ham, Arsenal interested, Stade Rennais. There's a couple of teams all interested in him. Had a good season again this year, so yeah, probably might want to
That's
watch.
Not what I would have gone for.
Who have you gone for then, Dan?
I would have gone for Juventus wonder kid, Kenan Yildiz. He's only 19.
Ooh.
Played a decent number of Serie A games season just gone. Very skillful. Likes a little trick and a step over. But yeah, he's very highly rated at Juventus, and I think if he can get some minutes, he'll be a real breakout star for Turkey. If they can get past the group stage, which they absolutely fucking won't.
Well, this group, three of them have been in the same group before. Obviously not Georgia, who were at their first tournament. But Turkey, Portugal and the Czech Republic were all in the same group at Euro 2008. And Turkey did manage to
get out.
Yeah, they won 3-2 and 2-0.
Well, they're not going to this time.
Well, where do we think this group is going to end?
Right.
Portugal are obviously number one.
Yeah, Portugal are top. I think Turkey will finish bottom of the group.
Below Georgia in their first tournament.
Controversially, yeah, you're going to go fucking mad here.
Georgia second.
I think Czech Republic will finish third. I think Georgia will shock a few people. I think they'll come second.
All right.
I'd love that to happen. Czech Republic. I'd love that to happen.
Turkey four. Very well. Harry, are you going for anything different?
I'm going to go Portugal, Czech Republic, Turkey, Georgia.
That is the same order I had down as well. So we will see how insane Dan is when we get there.
But I back it.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
Look. Yeah. Somebody's got to make an outlandish prediction. Here I am.
What, you mean like all of us put Italy in fourth place?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain me having Albania go through second and Italy finish fourth is up there.
Albania-Georgia final, get ready. That's out.
Let's go.
Yeah, we are surprisingly aligned in most of our views. But that is all the teams gone through, and that brings us on to our bracket. So obviously, the round of 16 will not be the first place team in Group B, which we have down as Spain across the board. Play in third place out of A, D, E, or F, which gets a bit fucking confusing. And third place out of A, D, E, and F, we have Scotland or Hungary, Austria,
hell.
Romania, or the Czech Republic / Turkey. And I'm going to be honest, I think Spain just win that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, me too.
Let's get that out of the way. The second round of 16, we have the first place in Group A versus second in Group C. Nice and easy. We have Germany versus Serbia or Denmark.
Well, it's Germany.
It's Germany again.
Yeah, it's Germany.
The next one, first in Group F, which is Portugal versus either Scotland, Hungary, Albania or Serbia.
Yeah, I think they
win. Yeah,
that.
I think they're going through yes. there as well.
Yes.
And we get the second place one here, because we've got the second place in Group D versus second place in Group E. So it would be the Netherlands versus Ukraine.
I think the Dutch win that.
I think Ukraine win that.
Ooh.
I don't fancy the Dutch at all this tournament. There's just something about them. Probably Ronald fucking Koeman, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of in agreement. I think Ukraine could sneak that one.
Ah, fuck it. Go on then.
Ukraine are in.
I still think it's another.
We're fucking making some shit predictions. Let's go.
Yes. We have Belgium as the first place team in Group C versus third out of D, E, and F. So it would be them versus Austria, Romania, or Turkey.
No, fuck off, Turkey. Yeah,
or
Belgium.
The Czech Republic.
Belgium.
Yeah, Belgium. That. And then second in A versus second in B. So it would be the Swiss versus either Croatia or fucking Albania, if Harry is correct.
I think the Swiss win
I
that.
I think Croatia win that.
No, I think Albania
fuck off,
win that.
Fuck off, Croatia.
I'm going for Switzerland.
Oh, well, this has gone well. We'll put all yeah. three of them through.
I'd go Switzerland over Croatia.
Fine.
Very
yeah, fine.
Well.
Fine.
So the quarterfinals we have. This is a spicy one. We've got Spain versus Germany.
Spain. Actually,
yeah. Oh, Germany in their home tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to go Germany, I think.
If you ask Sol Campbell, he'll say he thinks France do it.
I think France. Shut up, Sol.
I think Spain.
Do you know what? I'm going to make Ben make a decision. I'm going Germany.
Well, it's nice, flair, fancy football versus cold German.
Ruthless
efficiency.
I
think as much as my heart says Spain, I think the Germans in Germany, they've got to take that for sure.
So basically what you're saying is the team that Harry slapped on to win the tournament are out in the quarterfinals.
Yep, at least they made it out of group.
Woo!
The next one, first in Group F, we had Portugal versus the second out of D and E, which is Austria and Romania.
Portugal.
And I think we said Austria win that, so Portugal versus Austria.
Yeah, Portugal.
Yeah, that's fairly nailed on, isn't it? And the next one we have France versus Belgium.
France for me, please.
Yep, I don't think that's a difficult decision. No. Harry, you're welcome to disagree.
I think it
that was convincing.
I don't think it'd be that much of a walkover, but
yeah, this sets us up for a spicy semi-final in this half of the bracket because the last quarter-final is England versus either the Swiss or the Croatians.
Well, we said Switzerland, didn't we? So
we did. England, Switzerland.
Yeah, I'll have England, please.
Yes, come on, a boy.
It's coming.
The semi-finals. Fuck the other one. England, France, 9-0 England. Bellingham gets all nine. Gareth Southgate is knighted on the pitch.
I think we lose to France.
I think we lose to France as well.
I think you do them.
Yeah, Konate and Upamecano at centre-back. Yeah,
mate, it's fucking Didier Deschamps, mate.
Yeah,
you nearly had him at the World Cup.
Do you know what? No, we all know where this is going. England beat France, get us in the final.
I think you've got a better squad than you had at the World Cup.
Yeah. Ooh. Bellingham's a much better player now.
Yeah, I think you might do him.
All right, do you know what? We'll go England then.
And the other competition.
The other competition?
What? The other competition, the other semi-final.
We've got the Euro Conference League.
The World Cup!
It's Portugal versus Germany.
I thought you were going to bring out the fucking South American Cup then. What's it called?
CONMEBOL.
Copa America, yeah.
Germany versus Portugal in the other semi.
Ooh. I'm going to go Portugal, I think.
Ooh. You see, my money's still on the Germans.
I'm going
really
Portugal
like
as well.
Portugal.
Yeah, I think our Portugal team's all right.
Nope, fair enough. That sets
saying
up
that,
boys.
No, saying that, change that back. I'm going Germany. There's no way I'm having the Portuguese being managed by Roberto Martinez.
Oh, yeah, we've forgotten who's in charge here. Germany, absolutely, yeah, sorry.
And that sets us up for a repeat of the Gareth Southgate masterclass against Germany from the World Cup. Oh, sorry, the Euros.
It's going to be the Germans.
Germany versus England in the final. It's coming home.
Whoa, I'm going to have to bleep that, I think. Fucking hell.
They've been asked specifically not to do it as well, which would make it even funnier.
Yeah, to quote the German police, they've asked England fans to not be dicks.
To stop being dickheads, yeah.
Yeah, it would be really nice if we could for one tournament, but I'm not holding my breath.
I think the Germans
what do we think the result's going to be?
I think the Germans.
England, come on.
You're going Germany wins their home tournament. Dan says it's coming home. I've got to say it's coming home too. The most predictable result that we would have come up with.
What you're forgetting is the Germans have lost the ball-sniffing power of Jürgen Löw. So I think that's really going to hit him hard.
That is crucial.
Tournament.
That is crucial in a ball-winning midfielder, to be fair.
Yeah. Sniff that arse crack, Jürgen. Go on.
Well, we will get this bracket done up quite nicely and shared on our socials. Let us know if you disagree. If you think England aren't winning the whole thing, keep your opinion to yourself. But shall we get... I am kidding, of course. Shall we get on and finish the episode with some cheeky predictions, lads?
Oh, go on then.
Sure.
Well, the first one is kind of already done. Who do we think is winning the whole thing?
England.
Spain.
Quarterfinalists, Spain are going to win the whole thing.
Logically, I think it's going to be Germany.
Okay, yeah.
I can't not.
I mean, realistically, I think the final's going to be Germany.
If the Portuguese didn't have Roberto Martinez, I'd back them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I am still going for England. I think Golden Boot next. Top scorer.
If we're protecting England to win the whole thing, I will go for Harry Kane as the top scorer.
Okay. I'm going to go with Mbappe because I reckon he just sticks like four on each of their group games.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad shout. That's not a bad shout. I might go for Rafa Leão.
Ooh.
I thought you were going to say Romelu Lukaku there.
No, I think Rafa Leão, if he gets a couple of goals in each of those group games.
Potentially an interesting one. It's Golden Glove. Who's keeping the most clean sheets?
Manuel Neuer.
I think I might go the same, to be honest.
Mm.
Georgie Mamadashvili from Georgia.
Yeah, you can have that. I'm not writing it in the notes.
It could be Courtois, because that Belgium group doesn't
look like
they're
gonna... Courtois's not in the squad.
Oh, is he not?
Courtois's not in the squad, no.
Wait, what?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn. I'm just going to go whole hog. I'll go Pickford. Fuck it. Get the rave on.
Get the rave on. Yes, short back and stomping.
That's how it.
Right, the best player.
I might have a bit of a cheeky one here.
Oh, yeah.
One. Jamal Musiala.
Ooh.
Oh, I like that.
Or Bellingham. It could be.
Yeah, I was going to go Foden or Bellingham, I think.
Yeah, just in the media sweeps that.
Yeah, I'll go Bellingham.
All right. This one. Biggest disappointment. This could be team or player. I don't mind.
Italy.
Is it a disappointment if we expect nothing from them?
Yeah, no. Well, what about Turkey? No, Italy. It has to be Italy. I think they're going to have a shitter. Who's their manager now?
Mancini?
He's still living off that dodgy City money from the supposed 115 charges. Fuck him. Italy are going to have a shitter.
Yeah, I think Italy.
We've got
them finishing bottom of the group.
I know this sounds silly, but the biggest letdown could be Scotland.
What, but you don't
Yet
expect
again,
anything.
I'm not expecting
no,
anything
no, but they had that Euro qualification. They've got, they nearly breezed through to the Euros. If they finish bottom of the group, that's a really big disappointment.
I'd argue the biggest disappointment will be the one that Harry feels when Spain go out in the quarterfinals.
Mate, I don't think they'll actually fucking win it. It's just the odds were decent. I'm not putting it on Germany. We're like 2-1.
You're full of shit.
Right. So are we going Italy across the board then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have Scotland.
You'll have
You're
Scotland?
Off your fucking
right.
head.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be shit, but I'm expecting them to be shit.
I'm expecting them to not be bottom of the group.
Well, the media favourite this one. Who's the dark horse at a competition?
I'll go Ukraine.
Ooh, nice.
Albania.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to take a cheeky punt on Romania.
Oh, I love that. They're three of the biggest underdogs.
Nobody's going Turkey. I can't believe it.
That's like three of the biggest underdogs we could have picked. You know, if people say, oh, who's your dark horse? You go, oh, Belgium. Like, you don't go fucking Albania,
England.
Romania.
Shit, I tell you what, we've got a Balkan fucking showdown in ours. That's a spicy
group. I think Serbia could surprise a few, possibly, if they actually pull themselves together.
Yeah, possibly. All right, shit house. Who's going to just rile
Neil Mopai count?
The absolute king of the shit house, Mr. Jordan Pickford.
Oh, it has to be.
There will be some penalty antics, I think.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
He will become national hero once again.
Yeah, he's going to ignore the language barrier. He's just going to be yelling abuse at the nearest striker to him.
Do you know what? As it's one of his last tournaments, I think Thomas Muller could just go off the rails in one of his interviews.
To give us some of that outstanding German humour.
Lewandowski?
And finally, who do we think is going to be the player that gets the overrated transfer? The player who plays well at this competition gets a big money move, only for it to emerge that they are dog shit. There's one at every tournament.
Yeah.
Ooh. Rafa Leão.
You just said it.
That's your top scorer.
Fucking hell, man.
Well, that's the point. I think he's top goal scorer, gets a big move to United, and is shit because he's at United.
Oh, I don't know who to go for. Oh, I don't know.
Anthony Gordon.
No,
my choice, basically, if they do as well as Dan thinks they will, I'm going to go with Viktor Sigankov.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
I can see him getting a move to Bournemouth.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bakayoko from Belgium. Plays for PSV, I know.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good shout as well.
Another Jeremy Doku situation, I reckon. If you can't tell, I think Jeremy Doku is fucking shy, by the way.
This is the second week where he's just copped massive.
Yeah, I think he's fucking shit.
Do you know what's really funny?
Do you know what
well?
He is? Do you know what he is? He's the bloke, when you play drop-in matches on FIFA, but we're waiting for the boys to play pro clubs, he's the bloke who don't fucking pass and then just gives the ball away. Yeah. That's what he is to me.
I'm not saying I picked an interesting choice, but I just quickly Googled Viktor Sigankov to check where he was. He's at Girona. First article I see.
Man City.
Fucking four things to know about Arsenal target Viktor Sigankov.
Yes. Come on.
Harry, have you got a choice for the overrated transfer?
No, not really.
Great. Cheers, mate. This is great content.
Not really. I don't think, you know, I think all the top players, I don't think there'll be many big moves. Like I said, if someone like... unless we see Neves come back out of Saudi and he's dog shit again.
That's going to have to be a big money move, that. Jesus.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So, yeah, possibly something like that.
Okay, I'm just...
Oh, maybe... I'll go with Brandon Bobby.
Brian Bobby.
Yeah, sorry, Brian.
Brad, that's all right. Well, those predictions are looking spicy. But that is it for this week.
Sorry.
But fear not.
Sorry, before we go, I was quite pissed last night and I spent the last couple of hours awake writing some stuff about England. Can I please do it? Because I don't want it to go to waste.
Okay, this is not the end of the episode. We have time to wank off England a bit more.
No, this is not wanking off England. This is the opposite. So
oh, I see.
I've got a couple of stories for you. So,
oh, please, crack on.
Obviously, disappointing defeat to Iceland in the last friendly. But it could have been far worse. We discussed England's piss-poor tournament record in the 70s and 80s on one of the Mavericks episodes. So right, when Euro 88 rolled around, the Three Lions obviously needed to prepare properly. So the FA decided the best way to do this was a friendly against Aylesbury United.
What?
So England played against Aylesbury United, the likes of Gary Lineker and John Barnes played. They won 7-0. Then at the Euros, they lost to Holland, the Republic of Ireland and the Soviet Union to finish bottom of the group without a single point. So it could be far worse than losing to Iceland.
Turns out international teams are of a slightly higher quality than Aylesbury United.
Yeah, funny
have seen
that.
It coming.
Yeah.
Apart from the team managed by Roberto Martinez.
The Dutch won that tournament, but we prepared against Aylesbury United. Now, this is the first major tournament in Germany since the 2006 World Cup. And it's remembered, England's campaign is remembered for 16-year-old Theo Walcott getting called up despite not playing a single game that season. Cristiano Ronaldo's wink and the penalty heartbreak. But it's the antics of the wags I want to talk about. England were based in a spa town called Baden-Baden, which is a very sleepy place.
Yes.
In the West Forest. And it was Queen Victoria's favourite holiday spot as well. But when the wags arrived, it quickly turned into chaos. Victoria Beckham reportedly had 60 pairs of sunglasses with her, which is two per day if England had reached the final, which obviously
Jesus.
They didn't. Poshy's bold final prediction looked like it was going to come good when England beat Paraguay in the opening game. So the wags headed to a fancy restaurant to celebrate. They proceeded to get very pissed. Cheryl Cole sang We Are The Champions before they moved on to what become their favourite spot, a bar called Garibaldi's. Then the next night, they returned to their new favourite haunt and again got shit-faced. They sang Three Lions and World in Motion. Before Gary Neville's father, Neville Neville, belted out God Save the Queen. Why Gary Neville's dad was hanging out with the wags, I'll never know.
I love that he's called Neville Neville as well.
Yeah, so good. There's also Neville, some reported Neville. Story about Jamie Carragher's cousin possibly shagging John Terry's mum, although that's never been confirmed.
Are you sure that's not just
taste
Wayne
of his
Bridge?
Own medicine.
Yeah, is that not just Wayne Bridge?
How does it feel, John? rumours obviously started to spread about the Wags and their Baden-Baden piss-up. So a newspaper sent in a reporter to pose as a Wag, which I think is a really stupid idea, because somebody's random's going to turn up one day and they're going to be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
They quickly worked out that this was a reporter, so they went on a day trip to a theme park, and a load of Wags cornered this reporter and threatened to rip out her hair extensions. Another night, they spotted a journalist in a bar, and they had him removed from the bar. And then, as he was being carried out, they all sang "Cheerio, Cheerio, Cheerio."
Super! Like he'd just been red carded at the Amex. Fucking get him out.
They also went on a shopping spree one day and racked up a bill of £57,000 on clothes, and that was all hour. Not in an hour, no. They racked up $27,000 in hotel bills, while Alex Curran, who was Steven Gerrard's missus, spent $25,000 on pink champagne. So let's hope Lovely. This summer's tournament in Germany doesn't have any Wag antics.
Oh, yes.
You say that, there'd be nothing fucking better.
Get us back to... Should we go to Baden-Baden?
It would be heroic.
Let's record the next podcast in Baden-Baden. Get us a trip.
We'll repeat their little bar tour, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go to Gary Baldy's and we'll sing God Save the Queen in memory of Neville Neville. But yeah, that's all I've got in terms of England stories.
What a lovely note to go into the tournament on.
It could
on
be
that
worse,
note,
lads.
It could be worse. This is, unfortunately, the end of this week's episode, but fear not. The Euros fever continues next week when we'll be back with some of our favourite Streets Won't Forget players and performances from European competitions past. But for now, thank you for joining me, boys.
Pleasure as always, mate.
Have a good week, mate.
Oh, I think
Have a good Euros, mate. Come on, Wales it. Yeah. I'll wait.
Oh. See you next week.
Gira can hit them. Did! What a goal by Zoltan Gira! And still Baptista, yes! It's Cavani! It's fantastic!
One front, David Villa! Oh, great finish!
He's done just that, he scored! Juninho's done it!
Yakubu making another glimpse of goal here!